Welcome to this message from the Crossroads Campus of Charter Oak Church in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. We're pleased to have Pastor John Hartland back in the pulpit for the second message in the series Respect the Beard, Beard Rule Number 50, Beard Season Never Ends. What does it take to make wise decisions? It can be a lot simpler than you think, but it will also challenge you more than anything you have ever done. Here's Pastor John.
Beards throughout history have kind of been symbolic of wisdom, haven't they? And this is a message series on wisdom. So that's why we named this message series Respect the Beard. And because, as we just saw, beards are so cool, so hip, I spent a couple minutes this week researching some really awesome beards on the internet, and I want to share some of the best ones with you. Here's one I found. Guy's very cool, very handsome guy. That guy's probably in the KGB. That's a cool beard. That's like one of those wild beards. That's kind of neat. Not trimmed up, but that's a cool beard. That is literally the coolest guy I have ever seen. Like, that's what I want to... Is my wife's not in this service. Okay, I want this for my life. This is what I... All right, speaking of the coolest guy on the planet, here's the next one. Yeah, that's Stanley Cup winner Phil Kessel. That's the best beard I've seen this week. It's a message series on wisdom, and it's not a beard that makes you wise, and that's obvious, but what's not so obvious is that it's also not intelligence that necessarily makes you wise. It's not necessarily experience that makes you wise. There is one source, one holy source, one perfect source of wisdom, and it's from God. Any other source of wisdom is less than perfect. And so if today you are interested in making wise decisions in your life, and I hope you are, you have come to the right place. In fact, I want to get really, really practical today about how you can make better decisions in your life. Like, you're going to walk out of this place with a four-step process on how to make better decisions. I hope that excites you because it really, I pray, works. But I want to start with our foundational verse today. It's from the book of James. I love the book of James. It's a very practical book if you don't know it. And if you have your Bibles, you can navigate to James 3, verses 13 through 18. The book of James in the New Testament in the Bible, it's really towards the pretty extreme back of the Bible. Very practical book, and James's teaching on wisdom that we're going to read in just a second is a very practical teaching on wisdom. Here's what James has to say. He asks this question: who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it, let them prove it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But here's the thing: if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny that truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it's earthly, it's unspiritual, it's demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. So what James seems to be saying here is that there are two sources of wisdom, one from the earth, one from heaven. Hold on to that thought. James continues, but the wisdom that, yeah, comes from heaven, is pure, it's peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. God's word for each and every one of us today is how to make better decisions, how to make wise decisions. Could you use that in your life? A decision, by definition, is a choice made between two or more options. Can we talk about options for just a second? We live in a world today where there are more options than there have ever been before. Do you know how many kinds of Oreos there are in a grocery store? When I was a kid, you know how many options I had if I wanted an Oreo cookie? This many. Now they have pumpkin spice Oreos, y'all. In the grocery store, they have three aisles dedicated to how many kinds of Oreos there are. Man, conventional wisdom now would say that that's a really, really good thing, right? The more choices, the better. And on the surface, yeah, that seems to be true, but check this out. doctor of psychology said this. In an experiment examining the effects of choice on happiness, this particular firm randomized individuals to either a group of which they could choose from 30 types of chocolate, sounds awesome, or a group in which they could choose from just 6 types of chocolate. While subjects initially reported liking having the choice of 30 chocolates, they ended up being more dissatisfied and regretful of the choices they made than those who only had the choice of 6. Ironically, having many choices before us can actually prevent us from making a wise decision. It can paralyze us from making a decision. I want to talk to those of you who consider yourselves Christians today. Christians can be paralyzed in making decisions. We really can. And I wonder if those of us who are Christians, if we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, if we have the benefit of having the Word of God, should Christians be better or worse at making decisions than those who are not yet Christians? You would think we'd be better, but sometimes we're worse. Sometimes we're worse. Maybe I'm just going to speak for myself here. But I want to share with you 3 ways in my life, for real, that I have used a misinterpretation of our faith to be paralyzed in decision-making. I've been paralyzed in decision-making because of those gray area decisions. Do you know what those are? Things that aren't necessarily sin. In fact, things that aren't sin at all. But also things that aren't necessarily really spelled out in black and white in the Bible, right? For example, I know I'm not supposed to murder anybody. That's an easy one. But for a very practical example, my family and I just moved into a new house, into a new neighborhood. Which neighborhood should I move into? In the past, that decision might have paralyzed me if I get this faulty notion of thinking, well, shoot, I have 3 or 4 different neighborhoods that I could move into. What if one of them is better than another one? And by making the wrong choice, I somehow make God less pleased with me, right? The fear of choosing incorrectly can paralyze us. Here's another one. I've been paralyzed when I've put too much pressure on my decisions. Have you ever done this before? I have spent so many hours worrying that one decision I make in my life will ruin the rest of my life. Where should I go to college? What should I major in? Very important decisions. But I fear that if I choose wrongly, it'll ruin my whole life. Listen to me very closely. No decision you make can ruin your life unless you give it the power to do so. Decisions by themselves don't have enough power to ruin your life. They only have enough power to ruin your life if you give them permission to do so. If you do, they can paralyze you from decision-making. I understand that because it's happened in my life before. Finally, this is a big one. There have been times in my life where I have waited and waited and waited for a sign from God. Now, on the surface, that doesn't sound really bad. It sounds like a good thing, right? Can we be honest with each other right now? Maybe I won't speak for you. Maybe I'll speak for me. But the times in my life where I have told God that I'm waiting on a sign from Him, I'm just making excuses. I've been called into the ministry since I've been in high school. It took me 10 years to actually take that call seriously. You know why? Because I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it for many reasons. I wanted to live a worldly life because it was more fun. On the surface. And so I ran away from that call. Do you know the excuse that I used? Oh, I'm waiting on a call from God. I'm waiting on a sign from God. I knew I'd been called. And the funny thing about that is, I got sign after sign after sign from God. And what I said to God when I got a very clear sign from Him is, well, that's not a big enough sign. I need a bigger one. Maybe you've had that experience too. If we wait for a burning bush miracle for every decision we make, first of all, it's not even biblical. If we do that, we're going to be waiting for a very long time. Here's the bottom line. We who are Christians sometimes use our faith as an excuse not to make decisions rather than as an aid to make wise decisions. How can that be? How can that be? We who are infused with the power of the Holy Spirit, we who have the gift of the Word of God, we should be making Christians, we should be making the wisest decisions of anybody on the planet. God wants you to make wise decisions. And if you're here and you're not yet a Christian today, you are very welcome in this place. God wants all of us to make very wise decisions. Here's this proverb, very famous one. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight. Do you want your path to be straight? Do you want your path to be straight in your life? Here is a step-by-step guide on how to make wise decisions. And this doesn't come from me. This comes straight from God's Word. We're going to be using a combination of our foundational verse from James and the book of Proverbs. First step is to believe in God's Word. Second is to listen to godly counsel. The third step, after you've done the first two, is to do what you want. Do what you want. Now, this bears some more explanation, so just bear with me on this one. We're going to talk about it in a minute. The fourth step is to ask for faith. Two things very quickly before we even get started. The order of this is very, very important. If we do these out of order, it can lead to some very unwise decisions, especially if you try to do number three first. Please don't do number three first. We do. We laugh about it, but we do. How many of us do number three and then believe in God's word and then listen to godly counsel after the fact because we've made a very poor decision and we're bearing the consequences of it? I do that a lot. Amen. Second, I want to stop short of guaranteeing that this will produce wise decisions every single time. You could do all these steps in their proper order and still come up with an unwise decision for some reason. What I think of this process is kind of like bumpers on a bowling alley. It might not guarantee you a strike every time, but at least it will prevent you from getting in the gutter. I hope that makes sense to you. Okay, first, let's walk through this. First is believe in God's word. From our reading from James, James says, "The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." And from Proverbs, Chris shared this last week. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." We start, number one, with God's word, because all wisdom starts with God. If you are seeking wisdom from a source that is anything other than the one perfect divine source of wisdom, if you're starting with something less than God, why are you doing that? Why would you start there? If you had the choice, and you do, if you had the choice between the one perfect divine source of wisdom or something Carl wrote on Facebook, or something you read in Cosmo magazine, which one would you choose? Let's all be safe and choose the wisdom that comes from the divine author of the universe. Amen? Decision-making is a whole lot easier if we first run it through the filter of God's word. If we first run it through the filter of God's word. You know how a filter works? Let's take a coffee filter, for example. I love coffee. A coffee filter makes the good coffee run through it into your cup, and it prevents the bitter grounds from getting in your cup, doesn't it? God's word is a filter too. If we use it, it can easily prevent some bad decisions from happening, some bad decisions from getting through. Here's how using God's word as a filter works. It is the simplest thing on the planet. Ask yourself, if the choices before you, if any of them are sin, is what you are about to do sin? If God's word asks you not to do the thing you are considering, don't do it. Don't do it. It really can't. We human beings overcomplicate things sometimes, don't we? Just don't do it. I said earlier that the Bible doesn't give black and white answers for every single situation that we find ourselves in. The Bible does give black and white answers for many situations we find ourselves in. If you are seeking wisdom for whether to forgive somebody or not, even somebody who has hurt you badly, the Bible has an answer for that. If you're seeking on how far to go with your boyfriend or girlfriend, the Bible has an answer for that. If you're seeking wisdom on, man, do I help somebody out who has come to me in need, even if it puts me out, even if it's inconvenient for me, the Bible has an answer for that. We might not like God's answer, but God answers the way he does because he loves us. And he wants to protect us. And he wants to help us thrive. And he wants the same thing, not just for you, but for everybody around you. Knowing and believing in God's word will automatically prevent many bad decisions from happening, and it'll point you to some really good decisions. But yeah, what about those gray areas? What about those places in Scripture where God's word doesn't obviously point me to an answer, right? Should I marry this person? Should I take that job? Where do we turn to next? Very simple. We listen to godly counsel. From James again, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. From Proverbs, where there is no guidance, a person falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there's safety. Listen, if you have a church family, whether it's Charter Oak Church or whether you're just visiting us today and you have a church family elsewhere, if you have a church family, you have the greatest gift ever. For many different reasons, one of the things that a church family does for you is it allows you to never make a difficult decision again by yourself. Can you imagine that? Does that excite you today? If you're a Christian, you never have to make an important decision by yourself because you are surrounded by other Christians. And I do stress Christian here. I want to be emphatic about that. Not because non-believers can't give good counsel, but I do want to say very humbly that the best counsel comes from those who value Jesus over everything. I hope that just makes sense. I'm going to say that boldly. You want your counsel coming from somebody who can see the world and see situations through the lens of the divine, not something less. Here's specifically who you may get godly counsel from: your family and your small groups, or your small group. Man, be in a small group with us at Charter Oak Church. These are the people who know you best. They know your tendencies, they know your personality, and they can use that to help give you the best advice possible. Aaron and I had a major, major decision to make just a couple weeks ago. We were shopping for my daughter's first birthday present. I was trying to make that intentionally dramatic. It's really not. That fell flat. I apologize. It's not the biggest decision on the planet, but my goodness, we thought it was the biggest decision on the planet. We were shopping for a water table for our daughter. But speaking of options, there are 1 million water tables. And what the heck is a water table in the first place? So we searched on Amazon. We had 1 million options. We narrowed it down to like 15 or 20. And our first instinct was to text our small group about it. Because they have kids that are older than Lily, and they've been through this process before. So we texted them, and, you know, which stupid water table should we buy our daughter? And in 5 minutes, we had an answer. Hey, don't sell those small decisions short, man. In 5 minutes, we had an answer to what present we should buy our daughter. For the small decisions and for the big decisions, man, you can go to your small group. Go to your family members. Go to the people who know you best. Second source of awesome godly counsel, and it relates, Christians who have been there and done that, I can promise you, I can guarantee you that there is somebody at Charter Oak Church who has been through what you are going through right now. Maybe they made a wise decision about it when they were facing it, maybe they didn't, but whether they did or they didn't, do you think that they can use their hindsight to help you now? If hindsight is 20/20, why not use somebody else's hindsight? Hey, if that person loves Jesus Christ and they are walking humbly with the Lord, they will be very happy to share their successes with you and their failures with you. Any issue that you are dealing with right now, seek these people out. And finally, a third source of godly wisdom, I pray, it's your pastors. Every pastor at Charter Oak Church has been called and anointed and affirmed to this position. And my position within this church and at this campus is to be your servant. I'm here for you, and I love my job, and I love you. And please do not feel ever hesitant to come to me or to come to any of the pastors at Charter Oak Church if you need help with an issue. Use these means. Why not? If you have a huge, important decision to make, even bigger than buying a water table for your daughter, use every one of these sources. Why not? And even more importantly, here's probably the wisest advice we could listen to regarding godly counsel. Listen to godly counsel. It's not enough just to seek godly counsel out. Listen to what they have to say, even if it differs from what you want to do. Because seeking godly counsel out is useless if you've already made up your mind. Hey, if you're mature enough to seek out godly counsel, also be mature enough to listen to what people have to say, even if it goes against what you want to do, even if it is advice you don't like. Proverbs says this, the way of fools seems right to them, but listen. But the wise listen to advice. Oh, be wise. Be wise today. Okay. You've gone to God's word, and you've gone to God's people. The third step in making wise decisions, after you've done the first two, is to do what you want. Now, I know that this feels incredibly unspiritual, and it is unspiritual if you don't do the first two steps. But if you have already gone to God's word and you have gone to God's people, then the question becomes, what are you being led to do? Do you want to take that job? Do you want to move? Do you want to marry that person? If the answer is yes, do it. If the answer is no, don't do it. It really can be that simple to follow God's will for your life. In those gray areas. And what I'm trying to point out in this, you know, maybe shocking statement, if you consider it that, is that you do not have to wait on a sign from God for every decision you have to make. That's not even biblical. The regular way, the ordinary way that God leads you is for you to pursue God's wisdom. And then based on that wisdom, to make a decision based on God's will. Listen to this from James. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. That tells me a lot of things. One thing that it tells me is that it is all about being in tune with God's will. decision-making is all about being in tune with God's will. If you are in tune with God's will, if you have gone to God's word and you have gone to God's people, then God's given you the freedom to make the decision that you want. And man, more often than not, if you are in tune with God's will, you are going to make a wise and a godly decision. I hope that brings you peace. Please have a clear conscience about the decisions you make if they are made in Christ. That's what our fourth step is all about. Ask for faith. One day, Jesus was teaching on forgiveness, his typical radical teaching on forgiveness, and his disciples decided that they wanted to follow Jesus' advice, but they were also smart enough to know that they couldn't do it on their own. So the disciples asked Jesus for a very simple request. They said, "Jesus, increase our faith. Increase our faith." It is hard to make hard decisions. But once they've been made, please allow yourself a clear conscience to know that it is the right and the godly decision. By asking God to give you faith, do you know what faith is? It's just trusting in God. It's simple. Second-guessing the decisions that you make in life is not helpful to you. It's hurtful to you. And God doesn't want you to second-guess the decisions you've made if you've made them in Him. Please trust God that the decisions you make are the right ones. And also please hear this. No matter what decision you make, no matter if it's a wise one or you've been deceived and it turns out to be a less than wise one, no decision has to affect the rest of your life in a devastatingly detrimental way. No single decision defines your life. It just doesn't, unless you give it that power. Rather, you can give God the power to define your life. And if God defines your life, then guess what happens with decisions you have made in your past? Especially bad decisions you have made in your past. If God defines your life, then decisions you have made in your past are just that, in your past. Please let God define your life. Please have faith, and please trust in Him. Now, I want to close for just a minute with a very, very important asterisk on this whole conversation. This might be the most important thing we talk about this morning. God's definition of a wise decision and the world's definition of a wise decision are not always the same. In fact, they're often not. The wise decisions God wants you to make do not always lead to financial gain, do not always lead to prosperity by the world's definition. God's wise decisions don't always lead to safety or security by the world's standards. You can rightly pursue wisdom, and God may still lead you to a cross. God's wisdom and the world's wisdom often don't line up. And if you consider yourself a Christian today, if you have ever said, "God, I trust you," how far does that trust go? Do you trust God enough to let God infuse you with His wisdom, knowing that God's wisdom is the best? Not the most glamorous, not the safest, not the most financially viable, but the best. Do you have that kind of trust in your Lord? I pray you do today. What you've been equipped with today are four steps on how to make godly, wise decisions. Hey, let's do something radical. Let's use them. Individually, let's use them in our lives. And as a church, let's use this decision-making process to make decisions. Let's just see what God has to do through us and through you if we make decisions based on the foundation of His word and His people. Oh, I wonder what God can do through us. And here's the thing, and we're going to talk about this a lot more next week. The thing about God's wisdom versus the world's wisdom is that God's wisdom isn't a thing. It's not a concept. God's wisdom is a person. Let's pray about that. Lord God, as always, we come before you humbled today. We thank you for the gift of your word. Father God, we couldn't live without it because your word's life. Lord, I pray, as Rachel prayed a few minutes ago, that our hearts have been opened and softened to receive your message today. Lord God, you want us making wise decisions. You're a good, good father. You provided your word, not because you're a dictator on high that wants to just make rules for our life. You've given us boundaries. You've given us guardrails in your word to help keep us safe and to help make us thrive. Like a good parent, you don't want us touching the hot stove. And so your word says, hey, don't touch the hot stove because I love you. Lord God, would you soften our hearts to receive what should be an obvious message, Lord God, that you love us and that you have given us your word and your people that help dispense godly wisdom. May we use it, Lord God, literally to start transforming our lives today by using your process to make wise decisions. Don't let us leave here unchanged, Father. Help us to make wise decisions for our own benefit, for our family's benefit, for the benefit of this community. And it's in your precious Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending this time in worship with all of us here at the three campuses of Charter Oak Church. We hope you'll join us next week as we continue the July series, Respect the Beard, with the message, Beard Rule Number 43, When You Have a Beard, You Have Enough. In the meantime, if you'd like to learn more about the church or any of its three campuses and the many activities going on this summer, please check out our website at www.charteroak.church. God bless.